Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, to tone it down in the whole dystopia thing, we're going to, I read some Dr. Seuss. Now, you guys might know Dr. Seuss, but I didn't, actually. I've never read Dr. Seuss in my life. I did not grow up with...
I only know the Cat in the Hat, to be fair.
Well, I never grew up with it. I think it's more of a... What's the word? Because I mainly grew up in Spain. I don't think it's a thing. I'm not sure if it's popular, actually, in non-English speaking countries.
Mm.
Maybe that's my excuse. I don't know. And everyone knows the Grinch, for example. But I
oh, yeah, the Grinch, word. Yeah.
That wasn't a word. That was Dr. Seuss. So I thought, because I'm getting into children's fiction novels, and I haven't told you this thing, but I actually finished a children's book very recently.
Oh.
Yeah, me and Elisa, actually, were... Yes, indeed. You can send some pictures, indeed.
Nice.
And I wrote it for my brother, Lorca, for his birthday. And Elisa did some lovely illustrations as well, actually. And yeah, so we've been working a lot on children's literature, and I've been reading a lot more children's literature because of it. And Dr. Seuss, he just kind of, I knew of him, but the thing that attracted me was just the illustrations. So I gave it a read, and I didn't know that he has his own kind of poetic meters, and he's got his own writing style.
Yeah, I think it's a bit weird, isn't it, at times?
Yeah, it was Carroll-esque, even though it's maybe not the same poetic style, but it reminded me of the kind of things that you would read for Alice in Wonderland, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of very structured measures. And I think you people read Dr. Seuss, kids read Dr. Seuss to actually start being able to read. So it's used very much in school. So there's this educative aspect to the whole Dr. Seuss part. Anyway, I only realized this kind of when I was reading it. So I read four of the of his books, and just they're simple to read. I tell you this, it's great read just before going to sleep because they're extremely surreal. And I find just when you're getting really sleepy and you just kind of keep on reading, it becomes very surreal. And I do love this whole kind of concept with his. Well, like, this whole concept is just like, you know, kids are bored and they're fishing at a pond and there's nothing in there, but they're going to think, well, what could there be? And literally Dr. Seuss comes up with the most bizarre creatures a lot of the time or bizarre situations. So
this is like a Waiting for Godot kind of absurdism, right?
Indeed it is. Yes, exactly. Your favorite play, right? So let's let's be honest here. So... the four books I read were, I just want to get in the right order, actually. So from the right order, I read How the Grinch Stole Christmas, The Cat in the Hat.
Mm-hmm. The two famous ones, then, just to begin with.
Exactly. The Cat in the Hat. If I Ran the Circus. And the next one was McElligot's Pool. So the last two are not famous at all. No. McElligot's Pool was actually not published anymore because supposedly of some racist imagery. I have to disagree, though. But anyway, it's become actually a very precious book to get because it's not anymore in publication. So the one I want to talk about is, to be honest, the ones I like best are the last two. The ones that are not as famous. I liked least How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I just didn't think it was a very simple story, good, but compared to The Cat in the Hat, which already got a lot of fantastic situations about a cat entering and like starting to juggle talent and things. If I Ran the Circus, is literally about a boy who's just looking at this space with trash in it, and he's saying, well, if I ran this place and if I ran the zoo behind this guy's place, well, guess what would happen? And the whole story is literally like all these amazing things happening, incredible things like happening in the circle, like absolutely incredible things. And this is when I really started liking Dr. Seuss because this is really like, oh, I would never have imagined this creature to exist. So I really love the his original. He's very original. He really came up with things that I would never thought of, but at the same time, something that only a kid would have come up with. So it's really this child's imagination. And I have to say that if I'm going to mention more of one book, it's McElligot's Pool. Okay. So McElligot's Pool is an earlier one, actually. It's a story of a boy, Marco, who's the character from the first book I ever wrote, and to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street. And similar as in that book, Marco simply imagines something because he's bored. So he lives in a very normal world. He starts imagining, well, what could happen? And in this case, Marco is sitting at McElligot's Pool. And I'd like to read out the beginning here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I think it's also, I actually think Dr. Seuss is a great, he's got a great rhythm inside of him. He could have been a musician, in my opinion. So it begins with, and it's one of the very few watercolor books. So do look at Dr. Seuss nice. Books, not just read. "Young man," laughed a farmer, "you're sort of a fool. You'll never catch fish in McElligot's Pool." And yeah, so the pool is too small, and you might as well know it. When people have junk, here's a place that they throw it. You might catch a boot, or you might catch a can. You might catch a bottle, but listen, young man. If you sat 50 years with your worms and your wishes, you'd grow a long beard long before you'd catch fishes. And then Marco looks at him, and he says, "Hmm," answered Marco. "It may be you're right. I've been here 3 hours with one single bite. There might be no fish. But again, well, there might. 'Cause you can never tell what goes on down below. This pool might be bigger than you or I know." And then the story goes that he imagines that there's an underground tunnel that leads to the sea, and that it is then at the sea there is a big signpost saying, "Come here to McElligot's Pool," and all the craziest kind of fish you can imagine come.
Let me ask you something, because this might be great for kids, but is it difficult as an adult to read the rhyming couplets? I don't know how long
I love it. I love it. I can't get enough of that kind of stuff, like Alice in Wonderland. I devoured Alice in Wonderland, and I really like that stuff, because I like poetry and music, and I always imagine, for some reason, I always imagine Wayne Dyer. And do you know Wayne Dyer?
No.
He's a lovely American philosopher from the, maybe from the 70s onwards, but he had an amazing voice. They love audiobooks, and I just imagine that him, his voice, saying this out loud.
Okay.
No, I think it's great, because, and the pictures really compliment as well, because you get like all these.
Oh, the picture's good.
Indeed, the pictures are good. The one that makes this book a bit controversial, it's got Eskimo fish in it, who've got Asian features, I suppose, in the face. I can't say it differently. I suppose maybe they thought this was inappropriate. I think it's beyond the point, I think, because the whole book is just about, the whole book is a metaphor of like thinking big. The same as if we run the circus, it's really encouraging kids to like not, you know, you might be in a gray area with junk. Because a lot of these books are actually kids living in places where there's just junk.
Right.
But then you just, if you just use your imagination, you could create the most beautiful things. So okay. I think they're really, I think even for adults, they completely work, these books. And you've got circus fish here, you've got kids, you've got fish who go skiing, you've got fish from the Tibet who go jumping out and parachutes and all kinds of stuff. Nice. You've got fish bigger than whales, and it's amazing. So this is what I recommend, not just for your children, but also your inner children, guys. So if you can get a hand of McElligot's Pool, recommend that one. But I liked all of his books, actually. So
okay, very good. Well, I'll get on to my last book. Before I do, just another quick reminder. Booksboys.com is the site where you can find all the links to all the different places to listen to the show and to our other projects, our music on Spotify, and of course our Patreon, patreon.com/booksboys, where you can get the Playboys and the Caper Captains. We did new Caper Captains this month as well, because Robert read the ABC Murders. We did, you know, there's the Shakespeare, there's a lot of, you know, I think about Shakespeare, he just didn't write enough Henrys, you know, when Not enough Henry the Sixth parts, you know.
I don't know. Like, it just, why did he have to do so little? Like, could he not have done Henry? But he could he not have done, also done like Henry Revisited,
yeah,
or like Henry, you know, Henry like 1.2 or something like that, you know, like kind of re-edited or something.
So you can get all our extra shows there, and I'd recommend everyone to check that out. Poetry Pals, Film Fellows, Caper Captains, Forensic Friends, everything imaginable is on there. So
everything you would ever want in life, guys, is there. You never have to listen to any show ever again.
It's all there. It's all there.
It's all there.
I guess the last book I read is Captured Within by a Nigerian author. And the name of that author is Kemka Ezinwa. Now, the interesting thing about this book is it's about a chap, Matthew Udall, who goes missing. And Matthew's missing for 21 years. And the book gives us little snapshots. You know, it'll say missing 1 year, missing 3 years. And it just gives little snapshots into the lives of his friends and family and neighbors during his life. It's a really, really interesting concept. And we just get little snapshots and little pictures of their life. And there's this chap, William Bernard, and he's the son of Father Bernard. He wants to be a priest, but he loves this girl, Annette. And it's the kind of story about them being in love, but, well, eventually they do find Matthew, who's missing within the family. He was kind of hidden in plain sight. But there's a big cast of characters, and religion comes into it a lot, and just bits of it are set in Nigeria and bits of it are set in the UK.
Okay,
but it's just an interesting mix of all the family, the community, all the friends, the neighbors are always popping by. There's a big cast of characters. There's a guy, Lavinius, that you don't really like. You do feel sad when Annette loves William, but she gets pregnant by Lavinius, who's essentially the bad guy of the book. And some of the girls are very chaste and very, I'm not giving up my virginity. And others are like, well, I'm going to have a bit of fun. So there's variety in the characters, you know? So it's an interesting book. It really is. Hold on a second there, PJ. I do believe I hear the telephone ringing.
What's
going on? Just bear with me, PJ. I'm going to see who's on the line. I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
Hello, you're through the books, boys. You've got Dean on the line. Who's calling?
Hi, I'm Agnes Kay, and I'm also known as Kemka Ezinwa in the book Captured Within.
Ah, okay. Awesome. So we were just talking about Captured Within. So I actually read it this week. Now, this is not your first book. You've written a lot of books. Is that right?
Yes, but this is my first published book. Republished it. That's why it's in a different name now.
Right. Okay. So you've written other things, and this is the first one published. I mean, is there a reason that this one was chosen? Do you think, is it your favorite? Is it your best one? Or what's your own take on that?
I think it's my leap of faith, because that's the first thing I put out there. It's not the first thing I've written. It's the first thing I put out there. So I felt that would be my kind of coming out. I'm now coming into the comfort of being a writer. So I figured, why not start with where you began?
That makes sense. And how long have you actually been writing?
I started writing in 2010-11.
Wow. So you've got a full decade or more of actually writing.
Almost. Yeah.
Nice. So the interesting thing I think about Captured Within, so the initial premise of like Matthew Udon being missing for what, 20, 21 years before they kind of realize who it is. It's such an interesting premise because, okay, so a lot of the story does take place near the end, but we get these little bits as we go along, missing for, you know, a year, 4 years, 8 years. And we see little bits throughout the lives of his family and of all these people before we eventually discover. And it's really interesting just to take those little snippets in time before we kind of get to the end and we get to the kind of the main story. What was the idea to do that? Like, how did you kind of come up with that idea to do these little installments?
I just wanted to write. Initially, when I first got the idea, I felt I wanted to write about a woman's prayer for her child, because sometimes it's really hard. I think there was something I saw on TV and someone was talking about poverty levels and the fact that schools had to be given food for children, and there was this idea of taking that away. And people were complaining about it. So I said, okay, why don't I write about a woman's prayer and feature it about where I'm from, because I'm Nigerian.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll do something about a woman's prayer and how it doesn't always come as you pray or wished for. That's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But the story just took a different turn. Okay. And it became about this boy missing. And I think if he wasn't missing, there was no way her prayer would be answered, I think. Because he would be stuck to her and she would be stuck to him. So something had to take him away from her. And that's where the accident happens. And the part of the priest taking care of him just spun its way in there. I don't know how. So that's how the story went on with. So, and I wanted to also bring to the fact that sometimes there are people in our lives that are so well connected to us and we can't explain why or how we connect. There's this, I've forgotten the word I wanted to use, but there's that connection. And then sometimes you find out, oh, we're related somehow. How come? And then you see this mix, and then you see all these ancestry.com and stuff. I'm like, oh my goodness, we're so connected. So I wanted to put that into the story without actually saying it. So that's why.
And we have some parts, you know, I suppose set in Nigeria and some parts then in the UK as well. And it's always funny when it's set in the UK because they're always watching, you know, The Chase or Coronation Street or something. And it's okay, this bit's in the UK because they're watching really, really stereotypical British television shows. Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to say I'm more of an indoor person and I was kind of stuck with it. And I kind of found it boring because that's ordinary TV. If you don't have the satellite, ordinary TVs, and if you don't have the sky thingy,
yeah,
it's the same thing over and over. And then during the weekends, they now throw in from Monday to Friday's work for you to watch all over again. And because I was stuck indoors a lot, I think that's why that was the only thing I could really bring to the table.
No, I liked it. I thought it was funny. Because that's what it's like. And that's what I remember growing up before we had all the Sky TV and all the satellite and everything. It was the same three or four channels. And then everyone was watching the same three, you know, couple of TV shows every week. So that's what it was like, you know. You mentioned as well, obviously, about the theme of it being a woman's prayer. And obviously we have William who wants to go into the priesthood and we have Father Bernard. Religion plays quite an important role. I mean, there's bits where people are just giving Bibles as gifts, a lot of things. Do you want to tell us about the importance of religion for the characters?
Well, that's all. For most people, well, me growing up, it was in your face a lot. So you're stuck with it. Whether you believe, you don't believe, you're stuck with it. And in some ways, you have to conform or you be sort of treated like an outcast. So you have to belong to something. If you're in the northern part of Nigeria, you have to be Muslim. If you're not Muslim, you have to conform either in dressing or respecting their holy days and that kind of thing. So if you're in the South, you have to be Christian. If you're not Christian, you're pagan. If you're pagan, you're fetish. And if your fetish is like a no-no, it's a taboo. People do it in secret, but it's a taboo. So that's where it always, and it's always thrown in your face. There's always some activity to be involved in. So that's what he had and that's what she had. And William's decision to go into the priesthood was to shield his heart, really. Mm-hmm. If you follow the story, is to shield his heart because he got heartbroken.
Yeah.
And figured if he was a priest, there's no point in worrying about any other person doing the same thing to him.
Sure. No, there was just, I think, I can't remember who it is, but there's a funny bit where they just mentioned that, like, all the relatives and everyone, they just keep giving him a Bible, like, over and over again. It's like, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know what he's going to do. He's got 10 Bibles now, you know?
Yes, because growing up, if you travel to a different town, you have to stay in a hotel. And stay in the hotel, you always get a Gideon Bible.
Yes, yes.
Every room had a Gideon Bible.
That's right.
If by adventure you leave with one, the following day, it will be replaced.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you just keep taking.
And although, you know, my favorite part is obviously the story about Matthew, about William, and the you know, there's the going into the priesthood, but there's also the kind of love story with Annette, and she's got her bits with Lavinius and all this. But apart from those kind of what I'm going to kind of call the main characters, the main story, you know, there's a lot of other characters. Yeah. It's a big, big family, and there's a lot of stuff going on. How did you keep track of all the, you know, all the side characters and all the whole family? Because it was, there's a lot of characters, you know.
I think that's part of the reason why I had to pull it out and rewrite it again. Because I wanted to write, the people involved in his life were kind of like everybody on the street. And that's where he goes missing. And somehow he's involved with all these people. And they're affected, even though loosely for some. Livinus was barely affected by it. He was kind of relieved.
Yeah.
And but Ambrose was quite affected by it because they were really close. So I wanted to bring that in. And Ambrose has sisters and friends and his mother and Matthew's mother and all of that. So it's a big community.
They have a good community,
Yes, so how his disappearance affects them positively and negatively, I wanted to portray that. So it's kind of like a village thing. And to build them, I had to use A3 sheets to just find my way around the...
Just the links between all the characters.
It was difficult initially because I kept going back to it, and and it was frustrating because I like to do something and be over and done with it. But editing is a whole different ball game. So you keep coming back, you keep coming back until you have to not hate the book in the end, but kind of tolerate the process of it. So
there's a lot. There's a lot more work than just that original idea and writing it down. There's a lot of reworking and editing. Yeah. So what's next? Are you working on your next release, or what's happening now?
Okay. I was working in November last year. I was working on my 9th book, and I got another idea. Then working on the 9th and the 10th book at the same time. Then somewhere along this year, during just before Valentine's fiasco, I like to call it, I got another idea. So I'm kind of stuck with that one. I can't make up my mind on what's next yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are 3 stories struggling to take precedence in my head.
Okay. Are we allowed to get a sneak peek at what there are?
Okay, one of them is, I haven't decided on the title, but I decided to stick with Rhyming Shadows, and that's the 3rd installment for the Girl From Home series. Okay. That's the final book on it. So that's about Zainab's story. I can't go into more details about it.
Okay.
Then there's the 2nd installment of Blossom in Winter is the first. The one after it will be Blossom in Spring.
Right.
And it's about Ilona's story. Ilona is Asmau's best friend, sort of. They meet when Asmau gets stuck with a marriage of convenience and their character builds from there, and they blossom into a beautiful friendship. But the difference between them is that Ilona is in love with Asmau, and Asmau hasn't registered that concept. She's right. Muslim.
Right.
So this Blossom in Spring is going to be Ilona's story.
Okay.
And her growth, yes.
Cool.
Then the 3rd one is... about a girl born in the earliest of times when women had no rights and all of that, and patriarchy and all of that. So that's a complicated one, even for me.
So got a few different ideas going then.
I know it's, and they're pulling me in varied directions, so I don't know.
Well, hopefully you decide which one you want to do.
I hope so.
So give us a quick idea then before I let you go. I always find it interesting to know what authors are actually reading themselves. So what have you been reading lately?
I don't have a strict genre right now that I read. I read mostly for, because I now do a book chat where I meet other authors.
Mm-hmm.
So I read what they want me to read. So I'm kind of stuck with what they put out there for me. Once in a while, I read outside that. I was reading, I can't place his name. Anyways, his name, The Fisherman, is what I was reading. So, but I had to abandon it because it was conflicting with an idea I was working it with.
Right,
so right now I'm reading Verity by Colleen something.
Okay, awesome. And
Hoover, yes, Colleen Hoover.
Colleen Hoover. The question that I always finish with, I always ask everyone, if there's one book that you wish you had written, what would it be?
One book I wish I had written.
Yeah.
By another author. That another
yeah, yeah, an, ex- written, an existing book that you wish, you know, I wish that was my book, you know?
Ooh, I think The Name of the Wind.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. Yeah. The name of the Wind.
Okay, I don't know it myself. I just go quick Google name of
It's Fantasy.
Fantasy, okay. Yes, yeah. I've got it here. Yeah, The Name of the Wind, Patrick Rothfuss.
Rothfuss, yes.
Yeah. Heroic fantasy novel. Okay. I don't know it myself. I'll check it out then if that's your recommendation.
I like certain aspects of the first of the set. I don't know if he's done the third one yet, but I like the first one very much.
Okay. Well, very last question. And why don't you tell the listeners where they can go to get your book, to get Captured Within?
You can get Captured Within on any ebook platform. Anywhere Amazon exists, you can get the paperback.
There we go. So Captured Within, you can get on Amazon. And I'll put a wee link to your website, whatever, in the show notes, and then they can have a little read about you. Awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you very much for calling on Books Boys, and have a great evening.
You too. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. It was lovely having you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there we have it. What a surprise to have the author of the book we were just talking about, Kemke Zinwo, call in. That's never happened before, right? Or
you know. That's a crazy coincidence. I don't know how that happens. I mean, it's Cosmos, right?
It's author telepathy. It's a special thing. When you write a book, you get telepathy about who's talking about it.
Yeah. Exactly. We're all interconnected, guys. Yeah, every one of us.
We're going to take a very, very quick break because I'm going to play an ad for another great podcast. And we have the amazing Merrowchild from TikTok, from BookTok, who sent us a book recommendation. So I'm going to play that. And we'll be back in a minute or two with our recommendations.
Right. Hello, folk music fans. Gordon Lightfoot is one of the greatest folk rock artists ever. And now there's a podcast celebrating and discussing his work song by song. It's called Carefree Highway Revisited. And every episode, your host, that's me, Mike Messner, will examine one of Gordon's songs with the help of a special guest. So if that's your cup of tea, why don't you follow us on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn? That's Carefree Highway Revisited.
Hello, book-loving Wonder Nuggets. I'm Rosie. I'm a bookseller, book talker, and author living in a mysterious pocket of the British countryside with my overflowing shelves, two troublesome cats, and a collection of tea. As a bookseller, I read quite broadly, but my heart belongs to speculative fiction, especially if it's queer. I read both adult and young adult books with the occasional middle grade thrown in, and I love anything that can be described as dark and tightly woven. So recently, I read and loved Victoria Lee's A Lesson in Vengeance. It's dark academia meets slow-bound sapphic romance meets ghost story, and it's my entire personality now. So if anyone needs me, I'll be in a prestigious boarding school knocking back old fashions and researching the untimely demise of five famous witches, all while being haunted by my dead girlfriend. I've also just finished All That's Left in the World by Eric J. Brown. This is a post-apocalyptic queer YA adventure romance that was as tense to read as it was adorable. I don't know if I've ever cared about two characters as much as I care about Andrew and Jamie. Although this story is scary, it has so many funny moments and character-rich dialogue with plenty of banter. I'm also an author, and 16 Souls, my own debut YA novel, releases this October. It follows a reluctant medium called Charlie as he attempts to save the ghosts of York from a fate worse than death. You should add it to your TBR if you like spooky stories, atmospheric settings, and queer disaster teens trying to save the world. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram every day as @MeroChild, Mero with two R's, and I'll be talking about current reads, bookseller life, giving plenty of unusual book recommendations, and lamenting my inability to maintain a book buying ban for more than a day.
So, PJ, do we have some recommendations for this month?
Recommendation for this month. Well, you actually got me on the spot there. I actually wasn't.
Do you want me to go first?
No, let me just spontaneously decide right now at the top of the head a book that I really love and that I haven't mentioned before, which is hard.
Well, that's the hard one, is finding something you haven't mentioned before.
Yeah, something you haven't mentioned before. Okay, so I think, have I mentioned Katsuo Ishiguro?
Well, the problem is, PJ, I can't remember which ones I've mentioned, never mind which ones you've mentioned.
Well, indeed. So this is out of the top of my head, guys. This is not planned, really. But I'm going to mention Katsuo Ishiguro, who is a British-Japanese novelist. You might recognize him for having won the Nobel Prize 2017. But suffice it to say, I was a huge fan of him before that happens. So no, not a post-Nobel fan. Just liked him anyway.
Not going on the bandwagon. You were a hipster. You were in before.
Exactly. I was in before. That's it, guys. So there you go. And I love his books in general. He's written, I believe, 8 novels perhaps so far. Started writing in the '80s. And what I like about him, to be honest, is that he's a British man whose family is Japanese, and they moved there when he was a kid to England. So he does come from a big generation of UK authors who have, nevertheless, their family is from somewhere else, like Salman Rushdie, for example, whose family is from India and partly also from Afghanistan, etc., etc. And I do love these, I don't even know what to call it, like, you know, these mixed background UK authors,
mm-hmm.
Just like Salman Rushdie, but I think they're friends as well. And so I do like it because he actually talks about himself, that it is Japan that he depicts in his first two novels, at least, A Pale View of Hills and Artist of the Floating World, is in imagined Japan, which I really love. And even though I lived there for a while, I think when I write about Japan, it's still kind of an imagined Japan. And we've all got that from Studio Ghibli. And so if you like that kind of stuff, you'll like this. The book I recommend is simply Never Let Me Go, which is a dystopian novel about, let's just say it's about, without giving too much away, it's about a couple of youngsters who grow up, nothing too kind of science fiction happening, but they kind of can't, they're not allowed to live up to the age of 30 for a specific reason. Nice. Let's just say their body organs might be of vital importance. And Never Let Me Go is really lonely because they grow up in this orphanage and like where the parents and stuff, and like why can't they live longer? And it's not heavy in science fiction or even dystopia, but nevertheless it is dystopia because it's a turn of the present future, and where it's not going well. But what I love about this is more like the atmosphere. There's a tense atmosphere of loneliness in each character, and they're very dependent on each other, these few characters in the orphanage. And it's really sad, and you're left with the impression after reading the book, you're really left forever with an impression. And I recommend it just because, just a little side thing, when I read the book, I did have like vivid dreams about the characters, and I didn't have that often with so many books. So it really sticks with me, this Never Let Me Go. It literally never has let me go. You get the pun, Dean.
I get it. Yeah, you didn't have vivid dreams with Pickwick, no? Just wandering around the countryside.
He's a capital chap, as he says himself, and he's very much in my heart, I would say.
Okay. Well, my recommendation is by Marcos Chico. It's El Asesinato de Socrates, so it's the killing of Socrates. I think I told you, I hope I haven't already done this one on the show. It's getting difficult to come up with recommendations. I think I reviewed before, I recommended The Plot to Save Socrates.
You read this a few years ago, though, the thing you told me about.
Yeah, so I've got, you know, in my oeuvre of fiction about Socrates, you know, this is another. I loved The Plot to Save Socrates, which is a few years back, and I think I recommended it. I don't think I recommended this one. It's The Killing of Socrates. This book was perfect for me. It was a gift. We get to see Socrates. We get to see ancient Greece. We get to learn about philosophy. It's in Spanish, which was helpful for me. You know, to I don't think this book is even in English, actually. But
no,
it's a night. You know, it ticked a lot of my boxes. It's action packed. There's a, you know, obviously it's about trying to stop Socrates from dying. Whilst we also have the philosophy, the ancient history, the Spanish, it just ticked way too many boxes for me to not get super excited when I saw this in a little bookstore in Galicia, and luckily it was a gift from Valerie the Pigeon Detective, so I was very, very happy with that one. So if you're interested in Socrates or you're interested in any of those themes and you can read Spanish, then check it out. I mean, it's been a year or two, maybe it's been translated since then.
Yeah, you never know. Look, yeah, it sounds like it's worth it. Awesome.
So that was my recommendation. Have we got anything else, or are we done, PJ?
Anything else? Well, I know. Can we say any words of wisdom? Are we at that time yet of life, or because we're 18 now? Is it time to give words of wisdom to younger generations?
Yes. Now that we are books men. Well, I've started telling people books this in my day to day life. When people, you know, are doing something, or when I see I'm in the town and I see rowdy students, or when I see whatever, you know, and I always say, look, put your slippers on, get a cup of tea, and read your Dickens. That's become like my new motto for people. And I'm saying it to people.
Did you already say it to everyone?
Yeah. And I'm saying it to people who clearly have no interest in doing any of those things, you know.
Well, look, you have to give your word of advice, don't you?
I was on St. Patrick's Day with all the people in the pub, and I was, you know, saying that to them. But how did you feel about celebrating St. Patrick's Day in Ireland, PJ?
How did I feel? Well, we just went into town, and yeah, I mean, like, what can I say? Mixed feelings, to be honest. I thought I did dress up though as a Civil War veteran, as a Civil War soldier.
I saw that,
and I sang the Irish national anthem. Don't get me started now. As I sing it on air, I did dress up, and a girl came up to me and said to me, and Lisa, she said to us, "You're the one. You're the one." So I think that was a big compliment. So I love compliments for the costume. A lot of vomit and the girl was slightly intoxicated, so I'm not best to take it as a compliment. You know, but
take a compliment. I'll take a compliment for anyone.
There was a lot of, you know, crime and vomit on the streets of Dublin. Not having a go at Dublin. It was still
Belfast was the same. Belfast was the same.
You know, mixed feelings, I'd say. Mixed feelings.
I was just, you know, telling them to read their Dickens, but they were partying and they didn't want to read their Dickens, PJ.
Ah, shesh, that's a pity.
It's a great pity. But I did, you were going to give advice.
I was a bit disappointed though, because I was expecting a bit more of the old kind of, like, you know, singing Irish songs in the streets, and I was expecting more, like, you know, like bagpipes and mandolins and fiddles. There was none of that. I don't know, wherever I walked, I thought there would be literally like every second person would be like playing fiddle.
Nah, they're just drunk. That's all.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? So, guys, my word of advice is to just slow down. You know, just if you're feeling a bit stressed out, just sit down, breathe a bit, and just relax. If it's reading books, that's cool. If it's playing the fiddle. And even if it's just drinking a cup of cha or a cup of Japanese green tea, just do that.
And the most important piece of advice of all is to listen to more Books Boys. So that's, if you do anything in your life, you listen to more.
If you do anything, thank you very much for pointing out. I almost forgot that most advice.
So I'll say a quick hello to our friends on the TNC network and, of course, on Radio Oxen and wherever people are listening. By the way, we hit 900 Instagram followers this week.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We have 900 on Instagram. We've got 500 on TikTok, and I've only got about 80 or so on Twitter, but we've got about 1,500 all in, which is quite nice. Okay. You guys, if you follow us on Instagram, I'm posting literally at least once a day. Like every day, there'll be some kind of book photo. A couple times a week, there'll be little video things, like, you know, swans and various things. I found Plato in the park this week, so I went to take a video of him. So there's always stuff going on. But I guess we're going to end this this month with a special song that we performed live in a car whilst driving in near Galway. And it's My Lovely Horse by the Divine Comedy from Father Ted. So if anyone
is it actually the Divine Comedy playing in the car?
No, it's us playing in the car, but
we're divine. That's kind of comedic, kind of.
So. We give it a nice extended outro, and you can check it out here in a few moments. And I think that's basically it. So if you want to get in touch, booksboys@hotmail.com, or hit us up on our socials, and of course all our links are on booksboys.com. And if the DJ would spin that record, we'll be back in about a month.
Sis!
DJ, you want to go again? One more time?
Okay, let's do it once more. Last time, right?
All right.
That's a promise. Okay. He wants this promise signed in blood. My lovely, lovely, lovely horse.
My lovely horse. Where are you going with the fetlocks blowing in the wind? I want to shower you with sugar plums. Ride you over fences. Polish your hooves every single day. The horse dances. My lovely horse. You ain't a pony no more. Running around. Like a train in the night. Like a train in the night. I wanna make sweet love to you.
Like a train
in the night. I wanna hold you tight and tell you I love you, baby. Train in the night. I wanna make sweet love to you.
Books Boys was presented by The Deem and PJ Burke in association with Thaddeus Penguin Productions. This episode was brought to you by our sponsor.
Is this a tiger I see before me?
If you would like to get in touch, you can email us at booksboys@hotmail.com or visit us at booksboys.com. The intro uses Driving in the 70s from the Of Soundtracks and Garage Bands EP by Trapdoor. And the outro uses Dog's Light by Bravo Max from the album of the same name. All music used is either Podsafe or used with permission.
If you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/booksboys, get the show early and all of our bonus Boof Fanda Boys shows, and you can also check out our music on Spotify or Apple Music.
Thank you kindly for listening to us. Please tell your friends and come back next time for another episode of Books Boys. Read some books!
On a PJ, you need to say goodbye.
Oh no, I didn't say goodbye. I just kind of like, oh no, hold on. Can we do that again? Oh no.
It's fine.
No, I'm gonna say goodbye.
Okay, let me repeat. I will be back in about a month.
See yous.
There we go.
Okay.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.